to work. God, we come to you and we thank you for being good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word, and thank you for how when we read this book, you talk to us about our lives. So God, we would ask that you would do that today, that you would help me explain, that you would open our hearts to you, that you'd make us know you and love you and be changed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going through the book of Matthew kind of from start to finish, although chances are good we're not going to finish it before we get distracted, but we're going through it in order, that's the point. And the idea is that we're going to look at Jesus' life, listen to Jesus' words, hear his voice, watch what he did, learn from him by what he says and what he does, and that'll be what we do. And the story last week is when he's actually born, so we haven't gotten to the point where we're hearing him speak yet and watching what he does. But it's been very instructional as we've gone. And I want to go back to the story from last week because there's something there that was really big, and you probably noticed it if you read along last week, that we just glossed over and just jumped over because we're going to come back this week, and it was a whole different topic. But a pretty big part of the story we kind of ignored. Before we get there, it'll be in Matthew 2, but before we get there, let's set it up a little bit with how it relates to us. And we're going to look at tragedies. We're going to look at bad things happening in our lives and how that works. We're going to ask the question, what do we do when bad things happen in our lives? What do we do when tragedies happen? Because they're going to happen. They do happen. They have happened without there being a need for them to happen. You know, sometimes you can look at bad things that happen and say, well, that actually worked out good because it had to happen because of this and this. But so many times when bad things happen in our lives, you can't really see a good reason for it. It's like, wow, that was so unnecessary and it hurt. And I didn't do anything to cause it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. Or maybe if you have a really guilty conscience, you say, well, I maybe did deserve that. But when you think about it, you say, I didn't. No one deserves that. And I definitely, even if I deserved it, I didn't want it. It wasn't something that I would have said, oh, could I please have that happen to me? Bad things happen to us. Tragedies happen. Death, that's the first one you think of when you think of tragedies, whether it's us approaching our own death and you get to the point where you can see it very close. You say, I almost died, or I think I'm about to, or when someone you love passes away. And no matter what the circumstances, it feels like a tragedy. A sickness can be a tragedy, whether it's someone in your family or in your own body, or disability, when you're not able to do what you were able to do before, or should have been able to do, or could have been able to do. When tragedy hits you, when you lose something, whether it's a job or a house or a car accident, or you lose something that you value. Maybe you lose dreams. You look at your life and say, I'm never going to achieve what I thought I would. I'm not going to be the person that I want it to be. I got to let that go. And it feels like a huge loss. Sometimes tragedy strikes in the form of abandonment. Didn't say that right, but you know what I'm trying to say. Being abandoned by people that shouldn't abandon you. Whether they're your children and they turn their back on you, or your parents and one or both of your parents have walked away from you, or a good friend has turned his back on you, or a spouse has abandoned you. And I don't even want to look up because I know the hurt that we've all been abandoned by someone in our lives to one degree or another, and it hurts because it's a tragedy. Maybe the tragedy takes the form of an assault, a physical or a sexual or even a character assault where you feel violated. A tragedy happens to all of us. We all experience tragedy at different points in our life. And I know this isn't a happy message. It's not a happy story we're going to read. But just think for a minute. What are some of the tragedies that have happened to you? What are some of the things that have happened in your life that you, even now when you think about it, you say, that makes me mad, or it makes me sad, or just, I would really rather not think about that. And then we also know, not just tragedies have happened, but they will happen. That's why thinking about this, as painful as it can be, is helpful too, because, well, we know that no matter how bad life has been before, or good, there'll be bad things that happen from this point to the future, and they hurt. They sometimes in the moment, they destroy us completely. Our lives many times are never the same after. Sometimes tragedies, and if you've gone through big things, you know, you can point back to that moment and say, my life was completely changed because of that. No matter whose fault it was, no matter who caused it, no matter what, it was a tragedy. My life is completely different because of that. They destroy us. They change us. They're not all the same, obviously. What my children would consider a tragedy, losing a Hot Wheel, not the same thing I would consider a tragedy, but they all, maybe not the Hot Wheel, but they all hurt. They're all painful. And then we live with that pain. And we try not to think about it, but then when, like today, when the scab is ripped off and we're forced to think about it, it's like, it's there again. The pain is there. And when these things happen, we ask why. We say, why me? That doesn't make sense. It's not fair. I don't deserve that, because things happen to us that no matter how bad we are, or how bad we've behaved, or all the bad things we've done, to maybe we can make it, well, I deserve that, and you know, in the sense of the universe. No one deserves that, whatever that is for you. And then they end up changing us. These tragedies that come into our lives, they change us. Sometimes they make us stronger, more positive. They harden us, and we say, if I got through that, I can get through anything. They make us be the people that we, more the people that we should be, the strong. Sometimes they make us bitter and cynical. Sometimes they make us help other people. Because if we've gone through pain, and then we turn and we say, I'm going to put myself into helping other people who are going through the same thing. And sometimes they harden us to other people and make us lash out and be vengeful towards others. Sometimes they make us become fighters. And sometimes they make us turn inwards and become depressed. Either way, for good or for bad, they change us. And they also make us cry out to God and say, why? Why? Where are you? Why did you let that happen? Do you love me? Are you even real? And I say those things and you say, oh, it's church. You shouldn't say that. That's almost blasphemous. Read the Psalms in the Bible. David said those things, and more than that. They make us cry out to God, and we say, I don't understand. How could you do that? How could you let that happen? And tragedies always change us as it relates to our relationship with God. Tragedies either make us run towards God, and we come out of the tragedy closer to Him than we ever have been, or they make us run away from God. You're not the same in your relationship with God after having gone through a tragedy. You either seek Him more and He becomes more real to you, or you say, no, that's not, how could that, I don't understand. I don't want any part of that. And we become bitter towards God. One way or the other, tragedies change us. Let's look at the tragedy that happened in this story, and then we'll see what we can draw out of that to help us. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, now when they had departed, so these were the wise men who had come to visit Jesus. King Herod had said, show me where the child is when you find him, because I want to go worship him. But he didn't want to go worship him. He wanted to protect his throne. So when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, and this is the part that we just blew right past last week and didn't even stop to think about. But just think about this. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose, took the child and his mother, went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. What incredible tragedy. You just think about that. These are the parts of the Bible stories that you read and you say, oh, wow, that's just incredibly horrible. Just in a verse. Genocide. 2 years and younger, all the male children, not just in that town, in that region, just killed. Soldiers came. It was just, you can imagine, it's like that's horrendous. That is, what a huge tragedy. And if there ever was a tragedy that was not necessary, this is just someone that the wise men had said, hey, there's the king of the Israel, and Herod, to protect himself, said, he can't be the king, I got to kill him. But even that wasn't necessary. But then it really wasn't necessary to kill all of the children. And those children had done nothing to deserve that. They didn't even know what was going on, and their families had done nothing to deserve it. It was. If any, there ever was a tragedy in the Bible, a tragedy that it undeserved pain coming into the lives of people, it was this story. And what we see here are two separate things. One is a big idea, and then we also see some things that can help us deal with tragedy in our own lives. The big idea, when we look at this story in regards to the tragedy, is that God is God even in the middle of tragedy. God is God even in the middle of tragedy. When you read the story and you focus on the genocide that happened and these children being wiped out and brutally murdered, but when you read the story with that in the middle of it, it's unavoidable, unescapable to see that God, throughout the story, God is still God. His presence and his guidance and his power is throughout the entire story, and he is God and he is in control even in the middle of this. And when we start being able to latch on to that idea that God is still God even in the middle of tragedy, even in when times when I look up and say, where are you? It doesn't make sense. Why is this happening in my life? If we can see what's obvious in this story, that God is still running things, he's still in charge, he's still God even in the middle of our tragedy, that helps us to not lose our way, to not drown in the middle of tragedy, to not lash out at God and turn away from him and say, there's no way, this doesn't make sense to me, so I'm going to turn away from you, I'm going to reject you. No, when we can latch on to the idea that God is still God, he's still in control, he is still the sovereign of the universe, even in the middle of tragedy, even when I don't understand it. Put yourself in one of the little huts where the soldiers came and killed one of the children, or two or three children, and the parents and the rest of the family, and put yourself in their place and what they were feeling. And in spite of that, God is still God in the middle of tragedy. It helps us to continue even after tragedy has passed. It helps us to understand, and it helps us to not leave God. There's some things that we see in the story that can help us deal with tragedy in our lives. And this may be helpful for you because you've gone through something and it still is hard for you to reconcile what happened to you with the God that you read about in the Bible. Or maybe this will be helpful in preparing us for tragedy that will inevitably come to our lives in the future. We see a couple of things. One is, this story starts helping us understand why tragedy happens. And see, we'll never understand why things happen. We'll never completely understand why God does what he does. If you want a really confusing and just hair-ripping out exercise in the futility of trying to understand why God does what he does, go read the book of Job. Because most of the book of Job is Job and his friends trying to figure out why God is doing what he's doing. And God comes in the end and says, you're never going to figure it out. You'll never understand completely. But there are levels of us being able to understand why. And we start seeing it in this story. One is, there's levels of why things happen. You can't just say, well, Satan caused that, or my sin caused that, or God made that happen. There's levels of why bad things happen. And the first level, if we believe what the Bible says, that God is sovereign and he is the king of the universe, the first level, and we see it in this story, of why things happen is because God ordains and permits everything that happens. Nothing happens without, even tragedies in our lives happen without God. They're not a surprise for God. He has ordained and he has permitted everything that happens. Ephesians 1:11 is a verse that says that. But look in this story, in this passage. Look in verse 17. This then was fulfilled. So after this horrible murder happened, then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah and weeping in loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. So many, many years before this, God had given the prophet Jeremiah these words, and they were fulfilled when this happened, and which means that God knew even then that this was going to happen. And he didn't stop it. Didn't cause it to happen, but he knew it was going to happen. He permitted it to happen. And by putting the words in the prophet's mouth, God was ordaining that it was going to happen. It wasn't like when this happened, God said, oh, that's what the thing that I told Jeremiah to say meant. Didn't see that coming. No, when tragedy happens, God is still God. He's in charge sovereignly. He knows what's going to happen. And at the very least, he permits it to happen. He ordains it to happen. And sometimes that takes the form of God causing situations to happen that maybe are in line with his will, but they're not things that I would want to happen. Sometimes sickness and hardship come into our lives, and maybe they're in line with God's will, and God's going to work his will through them, and God makes them happen. Sometimes, maybe. And they're not what I would choose, but God is causing them to happen. Sometimes God permitting and ordaining things to happen means that situations happen, tragedy happens, injustice happens, hurt happens, and they're not things that are in line with God's will. All of these children being murdered, there is no way that that is in line with God's will as defined in what he has said in the Bible. But he allowed it to happen. He ordained that it would happen. He permitted it to happen. He let it happen in a way, and this is hard for me to grasp. Maybe it's easier for you, but he let it happen in such a way that he's not guilty for it happening. He let Herod make that decision. He let the soldiers go and kill the children when he could have stopped them. But different from when you and I see someone about to be run over by a car and we let it happen, when God permits things to happen in this world that go against his will, he's not guilty of it happening. So on one level, why does it happen? Well, God permits and ordains everything, no matter how bad the tragedy is in our life. Another level, and this isn't seen explicitly in this story, but it's throughout the Bible, Satan, God's enemy, causes tragedies to happen. He causes grief to happen. He causes bad things to happen. He is behind much of the pain and hurt in the world. He is at war with God, and he fights against God by attacking his creation, specifically that creation which was made in God's image, you and I. So that's another layer. God permits and ordains things to happen. Satan causes some bad things to happen. And then we see this in the story. Sin causes bad things to happen. Now, every bad thing that happens in your life is not necessarily because you committed a specific sin or someone committed a specific sin. Sometimes bad things happen, you say, well, how is that tied to sin? Well, in this case, it's easy to see. Look at Herod, verse 16, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under. He did that. So God ordains and permits. Satan is at work in causing things to happen. But then there's a human element. Herod did it. He sent soldiers. They did it. They literally had blood on their hands. Sometimes some of the tragedies that happen to us are directly caused by your sin and my sin. We do things, and as a consequence, tragedy enters into our lives or other people's lives. Sometimes, though, tragedy happens, and it's not tied to a specific sin that we commit. It's not that we committed a specific sin or someone committed a specific sin against us and caused that to happen, but it's tied to sin in a general way, in a sense that the world is broken. The world is broken because of our sin. Go back to Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve sinned, the world was God's perfect creation was broken. And in a general way, we live in a broken, fallen world. A world in rebellion against its creator, a world in which death and sickness and sadness and injustice are permitted to happen. We start understanding, being able to understand why bad things happen. And then the second thing that we see in this story is that we're able to, even in the middle of tragedy, we're able to trust in God. Even when we don't fully understand why things happen, we kind of have an idea, but we can't completely categorize it. We can still trust in God, even in the middle of tragedy. We can have trust in Him, even if we don't understand why things are happening. We can trust Him. Well, one reason we see in the story is because He's sovereign. He's in control. We can trust God because, look at this story, God is still God, even in the midst of this tragedy, because He is in control. He's doing what He wants to do. He stops what He wants to stop, and He makes happen what He wants to make happen. He sent the wise men back for a different route. He told Joseph, go down this path. We see it in the prophecies. We see His sovereignty. He knew what was going to happen. He's in control. We can trust Him even when things happen in our life that make it feel like everything is just going, it's over, our life is destroyed. We can still hold on to the fact that God is sovereign. He rules and reigns over the universe. He took Joseph and Jesus and Mary to Egypt, and He brought them back, and He does what He wills even in the middle of tragedy. And we can trust God, not just because He's sovereign, but because He is good. Look at how He takes care of them in the middle of this. He's sovereign, and He is good. He takes care of us as we go through tragedies. He comforts us, and He's with us. He loves us. Isn't it true that there have been times when you've gone through tragedy, and you've felt the presence of God, the comfort, and you want to feel God's presence in a way that takes away, that makes everything better. And maybe that doesn't happen, but He comforts you, and He gives you peace in the middle of the tragedy. We can trust in Him because He is good. We can trust in Him because in the middle of tragedy, because He works through everything. Look in the story. He's working His plan. He sent His Son, and then he sent the wise men, and then he protected Jesus by sending Him to Egypt. And you could say, well, why didn't He protect the other children? Well, we don't know all the answers, but we can trust in Him because He works His plan in the middle of and in spite of and sometimes through tragedy. Isn't it true that there's things that have happened in your life that have been horrible things that you never would have chosen for yourself, maybe even caused by your sin or other people's sin, but now you can look back many years in the rearview mirror and say, that changed me in a good way. I see how God used that, even though it wasn't a good thing, even though it was something that I hated in the moment, and it still makes me cry at night when I think about it. God used that in me. he works his plan. He took Mary and Joseph and Jesus to Egypt, and then he brought them back, and then he took them to Nazareth, and he worked his plan, and a plan that he had said many years before through prophets was going to happen. There's going to be a tragedy, and then I'm going to call my son out of Egypt, and then he's going to be called a Nazarene. He worked all of his plan, even in the middle of tragedy. And the problem that makes it hard for me to trust God in the middle of tragedy is because I know what I think his plan should be. And it normally means me being very comfortable and very healthy and very happy with money to spare. And I want to be loved by people, especially my family. I want so that's what I think God's plan should be. But see, many times his plan isn't that. But I can trust in him in the middle of tragedy because he's still God and he's working his plan. And then the last thing that we can see in the story is that can help us as we go through tragedy is that we can have hope. Because in the middle of this story of incredible tragedy, the part of the Christmas story that we really don't focus on at Christmas, right? We focus on the birth of the Messiah, not the massacre. This is just, there's still hope in this. Where's the hope? Well, because throughout this story, there's the child who is the Savior, the child who's the Savior of the world, who was promised when Adam and Eve broke the world by rebelling against God, and we've continued to break things by rebelling against God, the Messiah who was promised, who would restore us to God, who would do away with the effects of rebellion, who would do away with sin and death and injustice, the one who would bring his kingdom and reconcile us to the Father, a kingdom in which there will be no sadness or death or pain or tears. He's in the middle of this story, and it teaches us that even in the middle of tragedy, that there's hope. Why is there hope? Because Jesus came to establish, to bring his kingdom, and through his children, he is continuing to bring his kingdom into the lives of individuals, and he will return to establish his kingdom. And all of those who are part of his kingdom, no matter what tragedies we've gone through in this life, we will be with the Father and with Jesus forever. And we will no longer have any sadness or death or injustice or pain. And in his kingdom, there will be justice for all of the injustice. Sometimes the tragedies we suffer in our lives are caused by the injustice of others. In Jesus' kingdom, there will be justice, either in his cross or in the fire of hell, for all of the injustice that has happened to us and in our lives. So, if we will face tragedy in our lives, and we have faced tragedy, and we'll face more, and God is still God even in the tragedy, what should we do with the tragedy in our lives? I would say we should run to God in the tragedy. When bad things happen in our lives, things that we would never choose, things that we would never want, we should run to God in those moments. And the way we run to God in those moments, it starts by, whether you're in a moment of tragedy or not today, it starts by making a decision that God will be your Father, that you will submit yourself and surrender yourself to him by repenting your heart and your mind and being baptized with your body and saying, God, I want you to be my Father. Because when you do that, then when you go through tragedy, it doesn't mean that God will be your Father who will take you out of the tragedy, but rather you will be able to run to your Father in the middle of the tragedy that hits your life. And he will be real to you and comfort you in a way that only the Father can comfort his children. And if you haven't made that decision to make the Father your Father in this community, you can tell someone, I want to do that. I want to repent and be baptized. I want to give myself to God. Maybe for you, you've already made that decision, and running to God in the tragedy is nothing more than for you today just affirming what you know to be true about God. Because maybe right now you're not in the middle of a tragedy. Maybe life is good, and me saying something's coming is like, oh, please just don't say that. Things are good right now. Fingers crossed. Well, it won't always be good. And maybe today is a moment of calm when you need to just affirm what you believe about God. I believe he's sovereign in control of everything. I believe he is good. I believe that he loves me. I believe that no matter what happens in my life, that he will work all things together for his good. I believe that he is bringing victory over Satan, sin, and death. That he will establish his kingdom, and I am his child, and I'm part of that kingdom. I believe that. And when we have that belief in our minds, it doesn't matter what we go through, hurt and injustice and loss and death, and it doesn't matter. It still hurts, but we're able to run to God when we believe that. So maybe today for you, it's just a time to reaffirm to yourself what you believe about God, and that will prepare you for when the next tragedy comes into your life, and you'll be able to hold on to him. Maybe for you, it's a little bit more personal and painful than just reaffirming what you believe. Maybe you're going through something right now, or maybe you've gone through something, and it's still just thinking about it just makes you angry and vengeful, and you haven't worked through it. And maybe looking at this tragedy and then thinking through what that means for you in your life, maybe for you what you need to do today is just spend some time alone, close the door in your room, and just spend some time with God and open up the Psalms and say, God, I want to run to you, but it's really hard for me to run to you when this has happened, and work through it with him and talk to him about it. Whatever you need to do, why don't you think that through? Why don't we stand, we'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you right now, and we thank you because you are good, you are loving, and we want to affirm that even as we think about moments when that doesn't feel true. And we confess, God, that when things go really bad, it doesn't feel like you're there. Doesn't feel like you're in control, and it doesn't feel like you're loving us. But we want to believe that. We want to believe that you work your will through everything. We want to believe that there is no sadness and hurt wasted in the life of someone who loves you. We want to believe that you're holding us even as we go through horrible moments. We want to believe that even though you could have stopped it, you still love us. So God, I pray that you would help us to believe that. I pray that you would help us to be able to be honest with our doubts and our hurt, and in the middle of that, to hold on to you. Thank you for the cross where you sent your son in the biggest tragedy of the universe. As we look at that, that you would do that for us, we pray, God, that no matter what happens in our life or is happening or has happened, that you would give us the faith to be able to trust in a Father who would sacrifice his son that way for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.